Today is a very special day, a day of celebration, a day of appreciation for our Jesus, our Lord, and what he did for us. Amen? That's what Pastor Trina said. And each and every year we stop and focus and remember his sacrifice. That word remember comes from the Latin word memorare, which means to be mindful of. And so remember is to be mindful of again, to be mindful of, to bring to your consciousness again. And so we come together as one on this day to become mindful again that Jesus died for our sins. And that he rose on the third day. And that because he lives, that's why we can face tomorrow. Because he lives, that's why our lives have purpose. Because he lives, that's why each and every day that we live matters and we have hope. Amen?
Amen.
This morning we're going to be focusing on the power and the purpose of remembering. The power and the purpose of remembering. Some things are worth remembering. Amen?
Amen.
I know there's some things you want to forget about. But Jesus' sacrifice is not one of them.
Amen.
Amen. Now, we may want to live in grace, and that's good, and we're not living in guilt and condemnation, but you don't want to forget how you got over. You don't want to forget why your life is worth living. You don't want to forget that. There is power in remembering. Now, what we celebrate as Easter or as Resurrection Day, whichever you want to call it, actually was not always in existence. Jesus never asked us to celebrate his resurrection, and so it didn't start out that way. But what they did celebrate was inextricably bound to the Jewish Passover. To get the message about remembering that Jesus and the Lord God, the Father, wants us to have today, you've got to go Jewish. And so we're going to look at the Passover today to understand the origins of what we now call Easter. I wish I had time. I could tell you all the twists and turns that this thing is going on. It's involved with the days that we worship and the Sabbath being changed. It's involved with whether or not you would be aligned with Jews or not. There's all kinds of politics wrapped up in what we eventually call Easter. Even the calendar that we go by, we call it the Gregorian calendar. Let me just tell you, the Gregorian part comes from the Pope. Amen? And so there's all sorts of things we could break down if we had time. But just understand this. What we now celebrate comes from the origins of the Jewish Passover. And so you can just imagine our text is going to be in the Old Testament today, right? Amen, amen. So Christ told us to remember. And so that's what we're going to do today. Now, it happens this time of year because the Passover occurs this time of year. That's why we celebrate this time of year. We can celebrate any time. We should celebrate every day. But why do we stop and remember this time of year? Two reasons. One, because this is when the Passover occurred. And two, because Jesus told us to remember. Amen? Amen. So let's go to our text. Exodus chapter 12. And we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 8 and then 12 through 14. That's Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 8 and 12 through 14. What are we talking about today, church? And we're talking about remembering, the power and the purpose of remembering. Now, in order to get that understanding of the power and the purpose of remembering as it relates to Easter or Resurrection Day, we've got to go back to the Passover. Amen. Now, we all know that the Passover was related to the death angel and the Israelites getting out of Egypt. But we're going to go back into the details and understand this power and purpose of remembering. If you know anybody Jewish, if you know anything about their culture, one thing you know, they can do some remembering. They've got all kinds of days, and they're all to get them to focus on remembering where they come from. Remembering their roots. Even if they're not religious Jews, there's some days they will observe. The Jews knew and still know the power of remembering. And how many of you know Jesus was a Jew? And so he understood the power of remembering. And so we're going to get to our text. That is, again, Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 8, and verses 12 through 14. And when we come to our text, the Israelites were in Egypt, and you know they were there for 400 years, and Moses' life was divided into three parts, one where he lived in the house of Pharaoh, lived good, lived large, another 40 where he was over in Midian, which is where he got his wife. He was on the run because of the murder that he committed, and 40 years back in Egypt, and ultimately he was God's chosen deliverer. And it is after the nine plagues, and we're about to have the 10th and final plague, that we find ourselves in this text. And so let's read it together, starting at verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. We'll stop right there. This is why the Jewish calendar, which is a lunar calendar, they don't go by the sun. This is why the first month of their year starts in the spring. Amen. They have Nisan. It's spelled just like the car company, depending on how you want to spell it. Sometimes it's spelled with two S's and sometimes with one. And while we have a leap year that adds one day to our calendar every few years, they actually every few years add a leap month so that they don't get behind. Why? Because Passover needs to happen in the spring. And if you go through the lunar years only, you eventually get too far back and it's not in the spring. So they have the last month twice in a year like this, which is why Easter is today. And Passover is almost a month later. That is why. Because Easter is tied to the spring equinox. It's tied to the Sunday after we declare spring, after the sun is dead center on our planet. And yet the Israelites are tied to a lunar calendar entirely different. But God did say to celebrate this Passover in the spring. And so in order to keep his word, they have a leap month. And they're in the course of that now, which is why we are celebrating on the 27th of March, and they're going to celebrate on the 22nd of April this year. Amen? Yes, are we learning something? Yes. We're learning about remembering. He goes on to say in this is still God speaking, verse 3, speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying in the 10th day of this month, that's Nisan, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of his fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. So the togetherness of the early church and this whole communion issue and people coming together in communion was not new. It was actually begun in this tradition. Reading verse 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And now we're getting to the point where I really want to go. Verse 7, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and also on the upper post of the door of the houses wherein they shall eat it. Now we're talking about the blood of what? An innocent lamb on the door, on the side post and the upper posts. Verse 8, and they shall eat the flesh in that night. These are prescriptions. This is exactly what God's telling them to do. They shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Now, we're going to come back to that because it's important. We can read right past it and not get it, but we need to understand it. Let's go on over to verse 12 through 14. We will come back to verse 8, but let's go ahead and read verses 12 through 14. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite or kill all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you, what? For a token upon the house where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. So he's going to kill every firstborn child, person, and animal. And the only thing that's going to protect them from that is what? The blood. The blood of what? The lamb. Judgment is going to occur. And this is true in the book of Revelation. Judgment is going to occur for us and everybody that's ever lived. And the only thing that's going to protect them from eternal death is what? All right. Amen. Amen. Now, let me just say one thing. In the eternity, understand this. Everybody, when we say eternal life versus eternal death and damnation, please understand, you will, in your spirit and soul, you will be conscious. You're not going to get the luxury of sleeping it off. You will be fully conscious. The only question is, what are you conscious of? Are you separated eternally from God? More painful than anything you can ever imagine. Whatever pain you think you've ever felt, multiply that as far as you can go. Because separation from God, you have no idea how hard that is to deal with. I told the folks in the nursing home yesterday, you know, when you lose somebody that you love, that you used to talk to, you used to laugh with, that you used to get counsel from, when they die, you feel a huge emptiness. You turn to them and talk to them and they're not there. And it's painful. It's going to be many, many more times painful to be separated from God. While you're doing all your dirt, you're still not completely separated from God. While you're doing all your stuff, while you're putting off what you told him you would do, what he's told you to do, you still aren't fully separated from God. Painful. And so he said, the only thing that's going to save you is if you put this lamb's blood. Now, one thing that is not spoken of in this narrative here is that they had to cook it completely whole, not like most of the sacrifices. This was more like the sacrifice that happened on the New Year, on the Day of Atonement. It had to be cooked completely whole, and no bone was to be broken. Verse 14. And this day shall be unto you for what? A memorial. Now, God said this day is to be unto you a memorial. You're not just doing it once. God knew the power of what? Remembering. This day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance for how long? Amen, amen, amen. Now let's go back to verse 8. Remember, we need to gather our understanding and our emphasis on remembering when it comes to the resurrection day or Easter, by going back to this Jewish Passover. Amen? Now he says in verse 8, we'll read it again, or I'll read it again. You don't have to read with me. And they shall eat the flesh in that night. The flesh representing the lamb, which was representative of the innocent animal and the blood that was shed so that you don't have to die. You shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, which represented the haste with which you will leave. Amen? Amen. And then the bitter herbs, ye shall eat it. With bitter herbs, you shall eat it. Now, what does that represent? The bitter herbs represent the pain and the anguish of slavery in Egypt. Are you starting to understand? So while they eat their Passover meal, they are to remember the sacrifice that was made to save them. They are to remember how bad it was where they were. They are to remember how fast they had to and wanted to leave. And they are to remember that God is the one that did it for them. Now, I'm sure each and every one of us have been in some place that we didn't want to be, been in a situation that we couldn't handle. And we said, God, if you'll deliver me, I'll do anything you say. And how soon? We forget. We need to be reminded. They wanted to make sure, God wanted to make sure that they remembered how bad it was where they were. Because you know, as soon as they got out to the wilderness and a little tough times came, first thing they thought about is, boy, maybe it wasn't so bad in Egypt. They needed to be continually reminded, and so do we. So do we. Not just when it's bad, we go wrong if it gets too good. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, we can forget how tough we had it, so we start looking down on others. You're just not working hard enough. Uh-huh. The truth be known, it wasn't just our hard work. You needed the grace of God. But we easily forget. We forget how painful it was when God delivers. We forget how dirty the mud was that we were caught up in. We forget. So we need to be reminded. Are you with me? We're talking about the power and the purpose of remembering. Amen. And so when the Jews ate their Passover meal, every part of the meal played a part. Every part of the meal, as they ate, they actually got to think about and be reminded of how they got out of Egypt. They got to be reminded while they ate the lamb of the blood that was shed, because without the shedding of blood, there is what? No remission of sins. When they were eating the bitter herbs, they were reminded of how terrible and how horrible it was and how desperate they were when they were calling out for God to get out of this situation. You need to be reminded. And as they ate the rest of the meal, they realized the sacrifice that had to be made for them. They still eat unleavened bread to this day. And actually, at that time, when they were having these celebrations, they couldn't even have leaven in the house. They had to leave in a hurry, so there was no time to wait for the bread to rise. We didn't cover this part, but he also told them in the first Passover that basically have all your clothes on and your shoes and have your staff in your hand, because you got to be ready to go. Ready to go. Now, we all know the way the story went, that they were ready to go. And eventually, once all those folks start dying, they weren't just ready to go. The Pharaoh was ready for them to go. Hey, man, get on out of here. You ain't got to go to the promised land, but you got to get out of here. And we learned the lesson that if you read back on the full text, that when you get a chance to go, you better get to going because they might change their mind. If you need to leave that man because he ain't no good, don't think second, don't think three times, don't think four times. Get on out. Get on out before he changes his mind. He don't let you out. And so we know the story. Pharaoh started chasing him. He started saying, I don't think I want to let them. So he started chasing them. And that's how they got with their backs to the Red Sea and the army coming in front of them. Now what you going to do? Now what you going to do? So the Lord parts it and has them walk over on dry land. And it wasn't a hot second before they did what? Forgot. This is why it needed to be a memorial. We need to remember. There is a purpose and a power to remembering. Now let's fast forward. Now we do understand. Now we're clear on the origins. I'm going to help you understand how what we worship or what we celebrate, excuse me, as Easter or the Resurrection Day has its roots in the Passover. Fast forward to Jesus's last Passover feast. We call it what? The Last Supper. That wasn't just any meal. It was Passover time. That's why you had to go from Galilee down to Judah and Jerusalem. It wasn't just to die. He was a Jew, so he was going to Jerusalem. And so while they were eating the meal, we know that Peter was saying, oh, I'll never deny you. We know that they were saying, who's going to be the greatest? We know that Peter was saying, no, we're not going to let anybody mess with you, Jesus. We're down with you. We know that Jesus was about to be very lonely in the Garden of Gethsemane. We know that all of the apostles would fall asleep and couldn't hang. We know what's about to happen. But at that meal, they, as Jewish men, what they were thinking about was the blood that was shed to spare them on that fateful night in Egypt. What they were thinking about, what they were remembering, what they were bringing to mind again as Jews was the fact that they had to get on up out of Egypt. What they were thinking about was the fact that for 400 years they were bound in Egypt and how bad it was. This is what they were thinking about. And they were thinking about the fact that Yahweh had delivered them out of that bondage. This is what they were thinking about. So here's what I want you to get. Understand that as they ate this meal, each aspect of the meal had a purpose. Each part of the meal had a meaning. So now when Jesus began to talk about the new covenant, it was not strange to them. We talk about our communion, and we talk about the fact that the Catholics call it the Eucharist, and they really believe that they're eating Jesus' body and that they're drinking truly Jesus' blood. Now, we could go real heavy into this about Jews and blood. Man, well, I wish we had time to do that. I wish we had time talking about kosher eating. But as Jesus began to describe the new covenant, they were already accustomed to using food and the aspects of a meal to help them to remember. So when Jesus started to say, as he took the bread and broke it, take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. That wasn't strange to them. They didn't understand it yet, but it was not unusual. Jesus wasn't doing some weird thing. If you don't understand Judaism and the Passover, you think Jesus is saying some weird thing. But they were already accustomed to the meal specifically connected with the Passover. For what you were eating to have meaning spiritually. So when he said, take and eat, this is my body, which is given for you, it wasn't so strange. And when he took the wine and he said, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood, the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many, for what? The remission of sins. When Jesus said this, It might have been new, but it wasn't completely new. They already understood the idea of an innocent lamb's blood being shed to save them. Back originally, it was to save their mortal lives. What they don't fully understand yet is Jesus talking about saving your spiritual life. The point here is that it wasn't unusual because the meal was used, the occasion was used to help them what? Remember. And so when Jesus said afterwards, he said, as oft as ye do this, as oft as ye do what? This being observe Passover. Let me tell you why that's important. You can have communion as often as you want to. What Jesus said, as oft as you do this, every other day of the year, all the rest of the year, their bread, they had time to let it rise. It was okay to have yeast in your bread. It was okay to have full bread with all the other feasts. But as oft as ye do this, eating the unleavened bread, because we didn't have time to let the bread rise in Egypt. As often as you come back together and have Passover and think about that lamb, I want you to be thinking about this lamb. As often as ye do this, as often as you come back and have a meal that's not just a meal, but every part of it has meaning naturally and spiritually, I want you to be thinking about my body and my blood. Our resurrection, our Easter is tied inextricably to the Passover. It was always about the power and the purpose of remembering. And Jesus knew this. He knew the power and the purpose of remembering. And so as Christians, we need to remember. Amen? Amen. We need to remember because the events in the garden set into place a terrible thing. We had a stain that we could not clean. We were bonded and bound by sin that we could not solve. Because of that, we need to remember. We need to remember that after the fall, we couldn't solve our sin problem, but God did cover it up in his compassion, and he kicked us out of the garden, not out of anger, out of love, for our own good. And that's why when you go over to John 3:16, it said, for God so what? Loved the world. Not because he was mad. He loved the world that he what? Gave his only begotten son so that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. That's a loving God. That's a loving God. That's why we've got to remember. We have a sin problem. We've got to remember because the temple sacrifices didn't solve the problem either. All that they did was repeatedly, constantly remind us that we're sinful. All it did was remind us how separated we were from God. You had the outer court, you had the inner court, you had the sacrificial altar, you had the laver where the priests cleaned themselves up, then you had the sanctuary, then you could have the holy place, and then you had a curtain, and then finally the holy place. That one man could go in once a year only, and then with a rope tie. That's what we get delivered from. Why? Because of the blood. Amen. Who wants to live like that? If you wanted to get to your parents and they're still alive, how would you have to go through that kind of gauntlet? Forget about the gauntlet. You're not even allowed. How would you like it if your mother was holed up somewhere and you had gifts for her and you could only bring them to the door? How would you like that? And then you see an invisible hand come and get the gift and that's all you know. And all you can think about throughout all of your days is what you did wrong. Reminded of your sin constantly. Reminded of your shortcomings constantly. What kind of existence is that? This is why we've got to remember we don't have to do that because of the blood. We don't have to do that. We need to remember because as Pastor Trina said, we were separated from God, and it's painful as it is, and all those reminders, as Jesus was dying, the veil was cut in half. And so now we had full access to our God. Amen. Amen. And a renewed relationship with our God. He wanted it that way. Think about this. Don't look down on yourself. Don't let nobody put you down and tell you you're not worth nothing. He wanted you back. Hallelujah. He wanted you back. We need to remember, because Jesus hung, bled, and died so we don't have to. Your blood wouldn't do any good, but you are the guilty party. I am the guilty party. Amen?
Amen.
And he took it all for us. He took it all for us. Many of us are parents in here. You know what it feels like for your child to be suffering, for your child to be in pain. You know what that feels like. You can imagine what that feels like. And a loving person, if it's not your child, just somebody that you care deeply about, you start to feel so much compassion, so much pain. You start to think, if I could take her place, I would. And so it's this kind of love that I'm talking about that compelled the Father to give away his only begotten Son and to let him suffer. It's that kind of love that allowed Jesus, that caused Jesus to press past his own fleshly desires, knowing what he was going to go through, and to finish the job. It is that love. It's not just toughness. It's not because he was God as well as man. It was that love that allowed him to be spat upon and have a crown of thorns put on his head and to be punched and to be put on a cross and to have people taunt him saying, well, you saved others. Why not save yourself? It was that love that allowed him not to have a problem of pride to try to prove anything. It was that love that allowed him to say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. It was that love that allowed Jesus to take one little change of a man and write off as a loss all of the wrongs that he had done. It was that love. That's why we need to remember. That's why we need to remember. We need to remember with joy, brothers and sisters, that Jesus rose on that third day with all power. You're rolling with a winner. You're rolling with a man. All power in his hands. And it's because he rose, because he's a living God, that we can face tomorrow. Because he lives, our lives have meaning. We could be having a meaningless life, and if you're not living in Christ, it is meaningless. Because he rose again and he lives, that's why Easter helps us. Whether you call it Resurrection Day, whether you call it Easter, it doesn't matter. It's an occasion for us to remember, an occasion for us to bring to mind again. And if you live long enough, again and again and again and again, an opportunity to say, thank you, 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 Jesus. Thank you. So each year at this time, we become mindful again and again and thank our Lord and Savior for what he did. And to God be the glory. Amen.